Good evening, Tim and Sarah in Australia.
And good morning to you, Jerry, in Austin.
Hi, Jerry.
Hi. Yes, Austin, Texas, home of the free and the brave. don't ask me to define that, please.
No, we're not going there now.
Yes, we're not here to discuss that. There's not enough hours in the day. So it's pretty It's pretty toasty warm where you are these days, isn't it?
Well, you know, our weather has changed a bit. It over the last 3 years it has gotten noticeably cooler and noticeably warmer. A little warmer in the winter and a little cooler in the summer. Our temperatures have evened out a little bit. We have a little bit more moisture. We've had no drought for a few years. So it's odd.
Well, I had the feeling last year, I seem to remember watching the temperatures in Austin, and they were over 100 for day after day after day. You were really pretty warm.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that was a very limited part of the summer, but yeah, we don't blanch at 100 degree temperatures very much, but if they get like 116 or, you know, it just stays that way for a long time, then things start to get wonky. But even with all that, things weren't really as brown as they usually get. So anyways, I feel that way. I don't know. It's not scientific. What do you know? What do I know? But let's talk about something we do know about, shall we?
Yes.
Okay.
Let's talk about these magnificent new iPad 10-inch.
Okay, well, I have to say I am the proud owner of a brand new iPad Pro 10-inch or 10.5-inch, whatever they call it. And
yeah.
I don't usually go for the beta operating systems, but this time I have, and I have the beta of iOS 11 on my new iPad. And Tim also has the beta of iOS 11 on his iPad mini version, revision 4, or whatever they call it.
Oh, you have a 4 mini, Tim?
Yes, not the latest one.
Yes, a year, 18 months old, something
yes,
like that.
Yes.
Gotcha.
And yeah, this time, because iOS 11 seemed to be so aimed at making the iPads more pro, I thought, no, I'm gonna go with the beta, and for sure it's beta-ish. You know, some apps don't work, and sometimes an app just quits. I tell you what, it has real trouble with, which is kind of surprising.
Well, hold on before you go any further, I have to just say, when you said pro, I'm sure that was short for productivity, not professional. Is that correct?
Well, no, you give us a problem there, because we don't say productivity.
Okay.
We say productivity, so I'd have to make it the iPad Pro or Prod or something.
Okay, all right, now you're getting technical.
I am,
right,
but
I do
agree that the iPad Pro, people who have listened to our podcast will have heard me, especially whinging, that the MacBook Pros were not pro machines, in my opinion. And the reason I said that was that I didn't see that they were catering to the pro end of the Mac market. Now, these iPads are definitely catering to the content creation end of the iPad market. And so I
agree.
Think they truly deserve to be called pro.
Okay. All right. So these are people who... Now, you know, just for the record, they may not be doing it professionally, but they may just be creating a lot of content. It's the line between professionals and amateurs when it comes to things like blogging and a lot of other things, and video production. And, you know, a lot of these YouTubers, are they professionals? Or, you know, there's a gray line in my mind. But I see your point, exactly. I see your point. Well, take us through it a little bit. I'd like to hear from both of you how you feel. Especially with iOS 11, I'm so happy you guys both put it on there. And I know it's a little challenging at times, but what's it like? And in what ways do you feel that boost in productivity and that love that Apple finally gave the iPad?
I would say the single biggest thing is the easy multitasking. So I have a blog at Troz.net where, you know, I don't blog very often. It's usually about Swift or other programming things. But for the first time, I actually wrote an entire blog post on my iPad. And I actually blogged about it. So if anybody wants to go to Troz.net, they can read the details. But the big thing was I had my editor open. And then when I wanted to add a picture or I wanted to add a web link or I just wanted to look something up, I just swipe up. I'd see the toolbar, like at the dock, the equivalent of a dock. I'd pull up, you know, Safari, or I'd pull up my photos or something else, and it would be just floating over my editor off to one side. And I could get at whatever I needed without ever leaving my editor. And that's the big thing.
Yeah, I bet that workflow sounds so much better. And of course, you know, I've tried some of these things on other people's devices. I don't have one myself, but I thought that was marvelous, all that you just said.
Yeah.
Now, do you drag and drop things over?
Well, that's what I was about to say. The drag and drop wasn't working completely. The editor I used is called Editorial, and it doesn't support drop yet. So while I wanted to add a link to a web page, and I could quite satisfactorily drag it out of Safari, but then Editorial wouldn't accept the drop. But you could see where the technology was going, and with a beta, I never mind that sort of thing, as long as you can see where it's heading.
Right, and it's interesting. You know, this is going to be this is a shakeout of sorts. This is going to be where we find out who's still committed to the market in terms of iPad apps, because as you know, we've created some ourselves, and it's a tough market, and it's hard to make money in that market is what I'm trying to say. And so Editorial was in the front, used to be on the front edge of everything, and there's still a good app, don't get me wrong, but only the most aggressive apps right now, I think, are going to have that.
Well, it depends how much they do, because an app that kind of uses the built-in controls without messing with them will have drag and drop by default. You won't have to do anything.
Right. That's
so
true.
Editorial obviously has some very clever text editing, and so what they give you is not a plain text view, and so you couldn't just drag and drop. And you know, that's fair enough.
Yeah, and you and I have had this discussion, and Tim's been in these too, where we discovered years ago that it just doesn't pay, in terms of the cost of development, to do too much custom work on your apps that might make them not be able to take advantage of a new feature coming up. And this is a prime example.
Yes, I quite agree. And also in the app development thing, well, when you and I were working on our app, which we later ditched for commercial reasons, and we were going iPad only and not iPhone. And I think there's going to be a lot more apps now that are iPhone only, apps of the iPad only.
iPad.
Because
I agree.
They're going to want to take advantage of these new features that are more specific to the iPad.
Yeah, I think you're right about that, and it's as an iPad lover and somebody who would like nothing more than to just use an iPad. And my brother John is exactly the same way. He comes from Windows, and he's 70 years old, so he's kind of semi-retired. He's down to one client, and his one client uses Macs, and so he's already kind of made the jump. And now he tells me, he said, you know, these Macs are a lot of trouble. I would very much like to just use an iPad. He has an iPhone, but he doesn't have an iPad. So he's been using it for years. And he said, when do you think I should make the jump? I said, well, I would wait for iOS 11. Do you think that's good advice?
Yeah, I do. I don't know what he does, what his client, you know.
He's a CPA. He's a CPA, does a lot of Excel, Word, etc.
Okay, well, obviously spreadsheets you can do on your iPad. I mean, Apple's Numbers is really good on the iPad. Then a lot of accounting packages now are online and are web-based, so that doesn't matter really where you are.
Yeah, that part's already done, really. He's all set up for it. He's got the perfect client for it. And he is so sick of when he has to go back to his laptop, he just hates it.
Interesting. It's like, you know, we've been through this stage of moving from the command line interface to the GUI, and now it's like this is exactly the same.
Exactly the same as moving from our Apple IIs to our Macs, which I remember distinctly. And you do too, yeah. I think, right? Yeah.
And we weren't in the Apple camp at this stage. We had Commodore 64 and its variants. Oh. But yes, exactly the same thing. You know, you're used to typing everything. And so then when you actually get a mouse, you think, whoa.
Yeah, that was very significant. But now it's so much more direct to put your finger on that screen. And if you use the iPad for any length of time at all and you go back to your Mac, you will touch the screen.
Yeah, I do.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. There's no doubt about it. Yeah. Go ahead, Tim. Let's get Tim in here. What's up?
My experience with the beta, there's a couple of things. We downloaded the beta immediately, and it was fun to play with, but it was, in my experience, it was a bit shaky. But then they quite rapidly we got a second beta, and the things that had been irritating me to do with Bluetooth and stability in Safari and so forth seem to have been largely cleared up. The Bluetooth seems to be fine now. And so listeners will bear in mind that I'm not using the device for creation like Sarah does. I'm more a straightforward consumer, browsing email, social media apps and so on. So my experience is that it's great. I'm really enjoying it. And this latest beta is much more stable. Now I notice with regard to the one interesting feature is the Files app. I like the new,
I wanted to ask about that. Your experience with that.
Well, it just clicking on it seems to be fine, and it's a little bit like having a Finder on the machine. I think that Apple actually have a history of when they first introduce something new, they are quite single-minded about delineating their ideas about how this a new system should work. So, for instance, if they redo the iMovie app, they might ruthlessly prune it out and simplify, and they wait until they hear a crescendo of complaints before they begin to add back the features that people simply can't live without.
Yeah.
And I think that with the iPad and iOS, they wanted to they didn't want to confuse people with the old filing systems. They wanted the files just to be bonded with their apps and to be accessed through the applications themselves. And so they didn't want there to be a metaphor of documents that was potentially confusing for beginners. And I think that they were very successful with that. But and then critics can accuse them of being fanatical. But my experience is that once they've achieved what they wanted, they begin to unbend a little on some of these things. And so here we are. We've now got this Files app, which is actually very nice and simple and straightforward to use, but it gives people like myself access to files
Right.
In a way that's perhaps a little more comfortable to use.
It makes sharing apps, sharing files between your iPad and your Mac really easy.
Yeah.
That's important. That's important. Now, a question here. Tim, did you get the keyboard?
No.
No, neither of us have a keyboard, but I do have a pencil. And
you don't have the keyboard, Sarah?
No, I don't yet. But when I'm working on my Mac, I always like to have pencil and paper beside me for scribbling notes and when you're developing an app and you like to work out the dimensions of things and relative locations and just scroll down the old notes. Now I haven't used paper and pencil now since I got my iPad. I just use my my Apple Pencil and my iPad.
How's that promotion?
Oh, it's smooth.
The fast screen.
Yeah, there's no lag at all. It's just as good as using pencil and paper.
Wow.
And there's
that
no
is really stunning.
The palm rejection stuff is just so good because it means you can hold your hand just exactly as if you were writing on a piece of paper. You don't have to worry about lifting palm of your hand off the iPad.
I assume you're using Notes.
I've tried several now. The one I'm using at the moment is called GoodNotes. I've tried Notes, and Notes is okay. Notes, it's not so good, I think, for handwriting stuff. If you create a new note in Notes and you handwrite the title, it has a really weird attempt at
transcribing,
understanding
it.
That and setting it as the title for the note, and it's not a great success rate. The advantage of Notes is that if you've got an Apple Pencil, you can just tap on the lock screen and you're right into Notes.
That's what I was thinking.
Yeah. Then I tried one called Nebo. And Nebo is a big advantage is that it does does OCR, basically as you write, it converts it to text.
Wow.
Yeah, and it is,
gee.
I mean, even with my fairly lousy scribbling when I'm just jotting down notes, it was extremely accurate.
I can hardly write anymore. I've been typing so many years.
Yeah. Well, I still find when I'm working that it helps me think if I can draw little diagrams and scribble down the old note. But anyway, I ended up with GoodNotes, which does not translate my scribbles into plain text, but does make them searchable. So obviously, behind the scenes, it translates them. Like it over Nebo is I prefer its organization of notebooks and pages in the notebooks. So that's why I went with that one. I'm not convinced yet that this is the one way I'm gonna go. But at the moment, GoodNotes is my preferred note app.
Yes, it'll be interesting to see what a number of the other ones do. So because they're going to have to adapt. So many of the GoodNote apps right now are very keyboard driven. So they're going to have to change their ways. Like, for instance, I just love Bear. It's the most beautiful note-taking app, writing app I've ever used. And it's not overly powerful or anything like that. But its simplicity and its design are really breathtaking. I really like the app. But I'm not sure what it's doing in the area of pencil.
I was looking for, specifically a notes app that was really good with the pencil, because I want to use it when I'm on my Mac. So the keyboard I'm using is my Mac keyboard, and this is just my scribble pad beside me.
Right. Now, Tim, do you do any spreadsheet work on yours? I know you do financials and stuff.
Yeah, I do. Until about 10 years ago, I was a very keen Excel user, but then I decided to wean myself off it and give Apple Numbers a go. And at first, I found it a little difficult. So that's talking about the desktop version.
Sure.
But I finally got in the swing of it. And but I think that their recent iterations of numbers on the in iOS, they're really good. They now it's not as heavy duty as Excel, and there, if you have a very large complex spreadsheet with a large number of formulae, it's quite possible that if, for instance, if you had goal seeking or more sophisticated array analyses and
right.
so forth,
right.
I'm
right.
not
pivot
sure
tables.
That
tables.
Yeah,
pivot
I'm
tables
not sure,
and all that. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not sure that numbers is for you, but Microsoft have, I believe that Microsoft now have Excel on this.
They do.
In
they
iOS.
Do. Yeah,
so,
they do, and I've heard nothing but good things about them too, from
yes.
people who you know.
Yes, that's right. So your friend should just be able to work in Excel, but for anybody whose spreadsheets are more modest, just simple cash flows and so forth, I think it's excellent and quite intuitive.
Yeah, I used it extensively for months, just keeping track of medical data for my situation, and it was great because I could share it with my doctor, and we bypassed all that nonsense with the. You know, they over here they have what they call EMR systems. Sarah's very familiar with them because we worked on one for 3 years.
We did, yeah.
But anyways, yeah, they have these really cumbersome EMR systems, which are all web based and all very hard to use. And so this was a way I was keeping daily data. And if I had to go into his portal every day and post my data, number one, he'd not be able to look at it all at once because you could never do that with a patient portal. And secondly, he would have to get an email saying he's got a message from me, then enter his password and God knows what else, his blood perhaps, and get into his app and then look at my data. But with numbers, and by the way, I did it all on my iPad. With numbers, I would just put my data, you know, my retention, my voiding and all that stuff with my urine, and it would just post it up there. And not just that, I did charts, I did everything. Then I put a comment for notes, so I could put notes about what else was going on that might have been driving the data. And then I put a column for him right next to mine for him to make comments about my notes. And that was vastly, vastly superior to the
point. Very cool. Very cool.
Mm.
Yeah.
So, yeah, well, as you say, I mean, that's just another pure example of how the iPad's becoming pro. Now, you were surprised, Jerry, that I don't have a keyboard yet.
Yes, very.
And, yeah, well, I tell you, if Apple brings out Xcode for the iPad, I'll have a keyboard the next day. That's for sure.
I believe that. I believe that.
But,
and my whole goal is to be able to code on the iPad. That's the only place I want to go. That's the only thing keeping me on my Mac. And I do love coding. And so I have to have it. And right now, the only place, and that's what keeps me from buying a new Mac. My poor old MacBook Air is showing its age. And it wants to retire. It's past 65. It wants Social Security, too. And I don't know what to do about that.
No. But the keyboard, the on-screen keyboard in the new iOS 11 for the iPad anyway, I'm not sure about the phone, but on the iPad, it has a feature that I really like and use a lot, which is that
you. I know.
Yeah.
I know this one. I'm a little surprised. Go ahead.
Yeah, well, which is that you pull down on a key to effectively get the shift or the modifier. So, now I've just got to bring up an app that can with a keyboard
That's marvelous. There's a bunch of other keyboard stuff they did too.
Yeah, well, things like, you know, I'm in Notes now, and I've just brought up the keyboard, and I have the QWERTY across the top row, but above the Q in gray, there's a 1. So if I want to type a 1, I don't have to change keyboard and then type 1. I just go to the Q key and I kind of pull down on it, which brings the 1 into plain view. Let go, and that, oh. I've got 1. And I don't have to change keyboard at all to get any of those secondary things, like all the numerals and all the punctuation, dollar sign, at sign, hash sign, percent sign, brackets, all those things. They're so much easier to type now.
Now, I've been using that quite a bit. I think it's brilliant. I think that you'll find that they still tweak its sensitivity, because I have found the odd number appearing in my words. And interestingly, if you put a number in a word by accidentally dragging down a little bit as you type it, the spell checker does not throw it up as something that needs to be corrected. Hmm. It accepts it. So I think this is just beta software stuff. I'm a big fan of it. I like it. But it's got
he has ways to go. Yeah,
just a little bit to go.
Yeah.
On.
Okay.
And, by the way,
I had to jump in here and say also just a little bit of whinging and whining that I am very surprised that Apple hasn't done more with autocorrect, because I think it's lamentable. Really, how awful it is. It could be so much better. I mean, I deal with a lot of code that parses text and deals with choices and anticipates what you're going to type. I write a lot of code editors. So this, to me, is just inconceivable. There's some words I type so often, I don't know why it doesn't know them. And also, I just have to complain. One last thing. And I believe if Apple did this one thing, their whole image would change, and I think in a good way, if the autocomplete allowed you to swear.
Perhaps it should be.
It sounds like a joke, but I'm serious. I'm dead serious.
Parental controls.
Yes.
Well, yes, of course. Of course. But it should allow you to swear. When I, there's a certain word I like to say sometimes. It starts with an F, and it always writes duck.
Well, duck you, Jerry.
Yeah, exactly. I have to use stuff sometimes. I've gotten to your lingo now. I use stuff.
You know. Hey, Sarah,
so this is lamentable. The reason I say that is they have an image problem. They really do. And the image problem is that it's a bunch of old white men. And this really won't do. They have to really get out of that. And I don't care how much Steve Jobs wanted everything to be Disney, it isn't. And
yeah.
They need to give that up a little. They need to find a graceful but real way to do that, to connect with the younger users. I have friends, young friends, who swear, and it's not swearing. They're not swearing an oath of vengeance. They're just talking, and they use these words very nuanced, and they do express themselves. It's not just stupid swearing. And that's the way they talk, and that's the way they relate. And I watch them talk to each other, and it's really magnificent. It works.
And, but the thing is, it shouldn't matter what they say. If you say, as you said, if you use a word a few times, the spell checker should learn it, no matter what that word is.
Yes, I think it's human nature that our vernacular, we change the way we speak in different circumstances. Mm. And mm-hmm. contexts, and I believe that their artificial intelligence should be up to working out that the machine is in the hands of a 15-year-old. They talk like this to their friends, and
yes.
it's not really its place to try and re-educate them or to force them
to
punish them by saying,
yeah.
but these words you will have to retype every time.
Yeah. Now,
every
I think Tim
time.
Wanted Tim had a point he wanted to make about the dock on iOS 11.
Yes.
Oh, please. Please.
I was waving at Sarah trying to remember what the dock was called. You'd think after all these years I would know, but that just emphasizes.
No, I forget it. I forget it too.
I was gonna call it the button bar, but anyway, the dock. The dock in this beta is the dock is really great, and You've got the fixed apps on one side with the files button, and then in the current orientation.
Well, you don't have to have files in there.
You don't have to have files, but I like it in there. Mm-hmm. It's good. Perhaps the point is they put it in there.
They did. Yeah.
To the right of the upright bar, it's got its best guess of what you're likely to want to use. And or what you've just used.
It's interesting if you, sorry to interrupt him, but when I connect my AirPods, the bar on the right that kind of has your recent things or what it thinks you should have pops up with Netflix because it thinks I'm going to listen or watch a movie.
Yes, and in my case, it pops up with YouTube. It pops up with YouTube, and it has a little modifier to the icon showing the headphones are in. Mm. So I'm very, very keen on that. That's a great thing.
Big thing, I guess, is the control center.
Oh yes, control center.
Oh wow,
brilliant.
Good. Let's hear about that.
Well, you do the four finger swipe up, which used to get you to what did it get you to? The kind of app switching thing.
Yeah, the app queue. Yeah, the app queue.
You still get to the app queue, only instead of being overlapping cards, they're all visible in a smaller format. And you can force, and if you've had apps in split view, they appear in the split view in the switcher.
Yeah, that is
which
insane.
Which is pretty cool. And you can force grid apps there as well by holding down until they get the X at the corner. But off to the side, off to the right-hand side, you get the control center. And some of it's fixed and some of it is settable. And a lot of it, if you hold down on it, you get a bigger version so you can control it more accurately.
Where it blows up and gives you more greater granularity. It might show you more functionality.
Or even different. Like there's the brightness one, and if I hold down on the brightness one, it gets bigger, but I also get night shift and true tone switches.
Right.
Yeah,
I saw a demo of that. I tried it myself. That's beautiful.
Mm. And then with the other ones, you get you can go into settings and you go into control center and you customize controls and you can choose what to have as a quick access: camera, timer, TV remote, stopwatch, whatever. And the new one is screen recording, which I used for the first time the other day, which is pretty cool.
Oh wow! And tell me about that, because I do that constantly.
Okay, well, when you go into the control center, so you swipe up with four fingers, and I've set it to be in the control center. So then you just turn it on, and it immediately starts. That perhaps is a bit weird in that you're now in the control center and it's taking the movie straight away. So you need to edit, you need to top and tail it when you've finished. But then you do whatever it is you want to record. It shows a status bar, I think in blue, which when you finish, you tap the status bar and you get a control and you can say, stop the recording. And then just saves it to the photos, and then you've got it. You can edit it and share it and do whatever you like at that point.
Now, you used a phrase, top and tail it. Is that what I heard?
Yeah.
What does that mean?
Well, it means top and tail. I think the derivation is...
Is that from shelling prawns?
Oh, beans, I thought.
Oh, beans, yes, it's
where
beans.
Beans, where you chop the ends off a bean. And you imagine a long green bean and you want to get rid of the ends.
Ah,
do
gotcha,
top and tail.
Gotcha. Top and tail. Okay, great. I learned something today.
You learned something today.
Yeah. Yes. So, yes, getting rid of the beginning
excellent,
of the end.
Excellent phrase.
But excellent phrase. Our eldest son, who is a musician, a classical musician, they will also rehearse and they'll say, well, we're just going to top and tail this piece. So they'll practice the intro and they'll practice the final few bars, and that's top and tailing.
For the coda, yeah. Excellent. Oh, I like that. I like that. Thank you. Okay.
Yeah,
moving
there
on.
There you go. All right. So, so the control center is really good, and the ability to do the screen recording without having to plug it into a Mac, because you could always do that in QuickTime if you connected it to a Mac, but it's really good not having to. Now, yeah. Your Mac is good. Don't diss the Mac.
No, it's not the Mac. It's the cable.
Oh, yeah, the cable. Yeah, all right.
No, it's not the Mac. I don't hate my Mac. I just want to use my iPad. I can do that without hating. I'm not a hater. I'm a lover. You know that.
Good. Now, just before we wrap up, because we've gone on long enough, but we talked last time about the amazing engineering feat of releasing the new file system to every iPhone, every iOS device in iOS 10.3. And that is millions and millions of devices suddenly switching to a new file system, and there was not a single problem.
Wow. Have you time tested? Well, we don't have it on the Mac, so it'd be hard to time test, but a lot of the work I do on the Mac is with files, and the I/O on files is of very high interest to me. So
I think that'll be huge, and when you copy a big file or anything, it's just going to make a huge difference. But I was watching the WWDC videos, and the one where they were talking about this new file system, they had a very interesting tidbit. Apparently from iOS 10 on, they were doing dry runs of the conversion to this file system when they upgraded your operating system. And so they would kind of plan out everything that would have happened if they'd been going to do the file system upgrade, then shoot that data off to Apple Diagnostics and stop, not actually do the upgrade. So they had a mass of test data before they actually said, yes, we will do it this time. The control center, I think, is going to be a really useful thing. The fact that you can customize it yourself to a certain extent is going to be very helpful. And I really like the new ability to take your own screen movies. So that's my wrap up on the control center.
One follow up question about screen movies, Sarah. How about static screenshots? There's a vast improvement for that as well.
I should have mentioned that. Yeah, that is huge. Yes, especially if you've got an Apple Pencil. You take the screenshot just like you used to normally, so the home button and the power button at the same time. And it, instead of just going into photos, it appears in the bottom left of your screen as a kind of overlay. And you can tap on that, and then you're in edit mode, and you can crop it, and you can overwrite it, or you can scribble on it with your Apple Pencil, or do whatever you like, and then you can share it, or save it to photos, or trash it, or whatever.
Well, I have to tell you, that is something I must do 20 times a day.
Really? That's excellent.
I crop. I take screenshots and crop at least 20 times a day.
Well, you're going to love iOS 11.
Oh, I can't wait. Mm-hmm. I really can't wait. I might have to install it. I've got a pretty decent iPad. I've got an Air 2, the most recent Air 2. So
I would wait. I would think there's likely to be a new version of the beta today or tomorrow or the next day. I'd hold off. Wait for the next one.
I will wait for you guys to give me the thumbs up. How's that?
Will do.
Sarah has kind of summed up her point, and I was just going to say that I'm really enjoying the iOS 11 beta, and I feel that the current version was made much more stable than the first release, and I'm looking forward to the next one.
Excellent. So why don't we do a quick little round the horn, each of us say a little wrap-up about what we think about the hardware/software combo that we've been discussing for the last half hour.
Okay.
Let's start with ladies first. Ladies first.
Well, I think that with the combination of the new hardware, which gives you more responsive scrolling and more responsive writing on the screen, in combination with iOS 11, I think now the iPad really is a pro machine.
Okay. Tim, your thoughts?
My machine is not a pro, and I find that the beta is really responsive, and I'm really enjoying it. So I'm looking forward to the next beta. They generally get get even better. So it's great.
Mm. Okay, so, you know, I have to ask you, as the kids would say, what iPad are you rocking, Tim?
Ah, this is a, this is the what am I rocking? This is the iPad Mini 4.
So. Okay, all right. And it's, you enjoy all the little things we've been talking about, even without a big screen?
Oh, yeah, definitely. But I'm not using it in the heavy-duty way that Sarah does, though.
And you can't use the pencil.
Right, right. But that got me thinking. Mary Jane is very interested in iOS 11, and she's also interested in the this new iPhone that cost a fortune.
yep.
She's thinking it would make a nice iPad, frankly. And Tim, your testimony on this is somewhat convincing.
Yes, well, I think I speak for the more amateur users out there, and I think that they're going to be thrilled.
Not just that, but the size factor.
Yeah,
size factor.
That too. Yeah.
Okay.
I think they're going to really enjoy it.
Mm. Well, I have not had the pleasure of using 11 yet. I have done as much exploration without getting arrested in the Apple store as I can. we are in Texas. I have to be careful. So, yeah, I'm in love with it. The hardware alone, and even running the old OS, the responsiveness, the difference is noticeable, quite noticeable. And especially when you do side by side, and you know, you do have to threaten customers to take over a couple of machines, but it's worth it.
Oh, for sure.
And it's quite a difference. It's huge. And I think they nailed the form factor here. This is, at least for me, the perfect size. The 12, like yourself, Sarah, I had for a while and said, no, uh-uh.
Too big. Yeah, I agree. This 10.5 is physically, it's only a tiny bit bigger than the original size of the iPad, but you get the bigger screen because it's got smaller bezels.
And they're taking advantage of the screen with 11.
Yes, and I think with 11, we're seeing, you know, for the first time, the iPad come into its own. It's not just a big iPhone. Now it's a real machine on its own.
Well said. We'll close on that. And where can people find your good stuff?
Troz, Sarah? Troz.net, TROZ.net.
Excellent. And by the way, for Americans, beta is your beta.
Ah, yes.
And, right. yes.
Right. And okay, good. Tim, you got anything you want to direct people to?
No. I'm still just practicing my guitar, trying to learn Wonderwall.
Oh, you're at Wonderwall, are you?
I'm still very much a beginner, but I'm enjoying it. Slowly getting better.
I'm joining you. I'm a beginner again, having played the guitar for decades. I'm learning a new kind of guitar that is the combination of a bass guitar and a regular guitar, and it's played by tapping the strings.
Yes.
And it's quite challenging. Unbelievably challenging.
Yes. So you showed us pictures of us. It looks horrendous. I couldn't imagine trying to do that myself. Okay, well,
the sound is the sounds beautiful. So anyway, we'll talk later about that.
Yep.
You guys have a great rest of your evening, whatever there is of it. Thank you for your time, and I'm looking forward to the next one.
Yeah, me too. Okay, well, good night, Jerry.
Good night, Jerry.
Adios.